Hey, wrong people. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Wrong Questions Only, the politically non-binary culture peace podcast. Here at Wrong Questions Only, we actually just don't believe there are any wrong questions. That's what's going on there. Everyone's worried about getting canceled for asking the wrong question, and questions are problematic or blasphemous or however you want to think of it. And we don't buy into that shit here. My mom always praised me for asking questions as a kid, and I've always played devil's advocate, and I think that's how we're going to move forward, with compassion and humor and wrong questions, or just, anyway, you get it. I guess that's the irony. We don't really believe that there are wrong questions here, but we call them that. It's a play on wrong answers only. I don't know what to tell you. If you're here, hopefully you know what's going on or just vibing with the idea. But we've got a fun episode for you. Today is with Laura Sanders, a comedian friend of mine who is based out of New Orleans. And she's also an illustrator, graphic designer type, public speaking. Like, she kind of does it all. She's just like good at stuff. And she's one of the nicest people I've ever met. So we had a really fun time recording this conversation. I wanted to make it more focused around like one specific topic. So she went to an all-girls school growing up, an all-girls Catholic school. Hot, hot, hot. Just kidding. What we want to talk about is how much she valued that experience, but, you know, what we might do about the idea that it could be beneficial to girls to have an all-girls experience in school and not be around boys. And how that relates to what we're doing with gender and whether it's just self-ID and other people with penises being involved in all-girls school, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that, you know, led to a lot of good, juicy, fun, funny stuff about the gender stuff. But also, I've decided with Wrong Questions Only that I don't want the podcast to just be focused on gender anymore. We are going to be opening up to all sorts of other topics, partly because there's so much else going on in the world, and also because I just have a lot of smart, funny, talented, somewhat famous friends who I would like to have on the podcast who don't necessarily want their episode to be focused on gender because maybe they're a cis straight white men, whatever, and you know how it is. So we're always going to talk about gender. It comes up. It's related to everything. So don't worry. If you really like the gender stuff, we're still going to, you know, it's always going to be coming up. But just so you know, we're broadening the horizons of the podcast in general. But this episode was also recorded before I decided to make that change. Also, we are on YouTube now. So I had put up like a clip or two before, but the full episode of this Laura Sanders episode is already up on YouTube. You can actually see it on my YouTube at Ariel Isaac Norman. However, I don't even know how YouTube URLs work, but you can just Google that. If you want to subscribe to me on YouTube, that would be great. I've started putting up more stand-up clips as well. But I accidentally uploaded the episode to my Ariel Isaac Norman YouTube. I actually just meant to do it onto my Wrong Questions Only YouTube. So there is a Wrong Questions Only YouTube channel. I would love it if people started subscribing to that. That'd be super cool. I think I'm just going to be putting up, what I meant to do is just put up little teaser clips on my personal YouTube, and then the full episodes will be on Wrong Questions Only. And I'll continue to put out audio episodes on Spotify and Apple. I'm trying to figure all that out. I think that's all I really needed to say as an intro. I hope you guys like it. This is my friend, Laura Sanders.
Hi, I'm Laura Sanders. I am, I know you from comedy. I'm a comedian and illustrator and designer. And I live in New Orleans.
Sweet. Can you tell us how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 35.
Well, I always want, me too. I always want everyone to say their age. And it's like, one, we have to get rid of the bullshit of like valuing women by our age. So it's like part and parcel saying women never tell our age. It's like, well, we're also perpetuating. So, but also because when it comes to gender, like I want people to have some kind of idea of like where people are coming from and how these things change depending on where and when and what. So
Cool.
Yeah. If someone's like, I'm 67 versus like, I'm 19. Yeah, you have a very different experience of like what gender, like,
exactly.
Where I'm like, oh yeah. People of my mom's generation, like had a time where they shouldn't wear pants. Like I feel like where I'm like, that is very different than my experience.
Right. Exactly. And so, yeah, especially as the world keeps changing faster and faster, you know, I believe in micro generations anyway, much less, you know, the generational differences between how words have been used and what the rules have been and what the consequences have been for breaking them. And great. Yeah. so you went to an all girls high school?
I did. I went to an all girls Catholic high school. I went to a public co-ed elementary and great, like junior high and all of that. And then from ninth grade until freshman to senior year, all girls Catholic high school.
Is that because your parents were like, we would like you to be a virgin when you get out of high school?
Is that the goal? Worked. I was a virgin until after college, but it's that they let me choose, which was really nice. They were like, hey, you can go keep going to the very Ohio name. Anthony Wayne was the name of my grade school, which was named after a general who was like very violent. Mm-hmm. And we were called the Anthony Wayne Generals. And they're like, you can keep going to Anthony Wayne, or you can like choose to go to Notre Dame, which I loved Notre Dame. Like I really considered it like a very positive high school. I was like very Susie high school, incredibly mm-hmm. positive experience. And so that's why now as I'm becoming less and less ignorant about gender and how it can't just be like things just for women don't have any problems. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I was kind of in that. So my parents let me choose, and I like always wanted to go there because my mom taught there forever, and so I was like, oh, I love it there. Like I was raised around there, and like given White House, Ohio, the all girls Catholic school was more diverse in almost every way than my grade school was. So like religiously diverse, racially diverse. Like it was wild that like the private Catholic school was where I like got to know more diversity.
Then. You know, that happens a lot. One, I mean, for a lot of times, an all Catholic school is often the only option for a lot of people who are looking for a better education or for, various problems they're trying to like get rid of or outrun or whatever. But then also like just religions in general, like if you like in Austin kind of famously has become more segregated, more homogenous, you know, more upper class white kind of, you know. And so if you go to a church, that's where, churches and comedy shows, the light ups, not the audiences, are the only places I've found any diversity in Austin. So
yeah, like you're like, where is it now? Like, where is the diversity? Yeah. So
that churches actually bring together diverse groups of people. Sometimes, I'm sure if you go to like the Church of Christ out in the middle, you know, where it's not going to be a lot of diversity, but a lot of times in cities anyway, churches do bring people together of, you know, all kinds of different demographics.
Yeah.
If you don't have a subway, you got to go to a church, you know?
Yeah. And so I feel like I like was planning on going to an all girls Catholic high school for like a while, and then like, but was not like forced into it. It wasn't like a, you know, some people are like, and I was bad. And so I had to go to this very restrictive school where I was like such a good kid, like mm-hmm. as far as the stereotypical, like doesn't do anything, is like
drugs or sex or rock and roll. Yeah, you just have good grades. Yeah.
Like grades, student council, like truly all speech team, like all of the things that I'm like, I just want to make everyone proud of me.
You're just like my sister.
I was like, is she the youngest? I was like,
no, I'm the youngest.
Oh, you're the youngest. Okay.
She was just not wanting to be at home because our home life was not, you know, my mom was a little crazy. So then she was just like, I'll just be in student council, speech and debate and theater and handbells and choir and, you know, everything else I can. Yeah.
She's like, I'll never have to be home if I can be at home.
She's the smartest one of all of us. Like the rest of us academically had an easier time, but she was clearly the wisest and most intelligent in terms of how to handle life. And she's still doing better, I think, than any of the rest of us. So. Look at that.
My sister, I have a sister who is better at life than me, certainly. And she was better in the way of, my mom was like, it's good that Laura went to school after you, because I didn't realize how much homework you were actually assigned, because she like never did it or did it last minute, but it's just like quicker at those things than me. So I'm like, oh yeah, you can pull it off. So
yeah,
she's the lawyer and I'm the comedian. So I feel like that's the dynamic there.
Thank God. I mean, do you want to be a lawyer?
It seems like so much hard work, especially so she's not work. Even like an evil lawyer that gets to be super rich. She's like a work for good lawyer. And I'm like, that seems exhausting. You're
not even getting the payout. You know, hopefully she sleeps really well at night, I would imagine.
Yeah, hopefully.
So you enjoyed your time at your all-girls school.
I really did. That's why it's such a, like, it's weird to be like facing and thinking about the things that like it, that it wouldn't be a forever. It's kind of like the disillusionment of anything when you're a kid that you're like, I loved that time and it was so good for me. And then you realize the like institutions. I mean, it was a Catholic school also. So like, there's lots of things that I like at the time were very bought into that now I'm like, oh, there's like a lot of trouble in those things. And I like truly, like if I ever had kids, if I had daughters, I would probably want them to go to an all girls high school. Like I like valued the education there. I valued that. I found that afterwards when I went to college, I was speaking out more in class than like a lot of other female students were. Like it was like a thing of just like, I felt very comfortable being in like leadership positions in my educational. And I truly don't think I would have felt that way if I kept going, because I feel like in the public school, I was always like a nerd and like a kind of awkward whatever, but I feel like without the, it feels dumb being like without the male gaze, but I mean like that is like without thinking about that at all when I was at school and just being able to be like a dorky little lump in a plaid skirt.
Yeah.
It was like wonderful. And so then, so that's why I feel like so many people were like, high school is horrible, so high school needs to change. And I'm like, oh, high school was wonderful, but I still don't, but it was wonderful for me. And I don't know like how, as we get to know more about gender as a society, not being so like all boys school, all girls school, like how these institutions can develop to like catch up.
Yeah. That's interesting. I feel like, so it's not definitely not stupid to say, to talk about how it affected you to not have the male gaze, you know? That's something that seems to be such a struggle for most young women is, all of a sudden academically there's a downturn right around puberty where girls had been doing very well and then they stop and we don't know if they're, you know, just faking it for the men. Sometimes they want to look more, less intelligent, or they, you know, just get distracted because now they're growing boobs and the men are around. Like there's a million reasons why. And so we're not sure exactly why, but we know that there's a downturn where women, girls, I guess, you know, not adults yet, girls start to fall off academically where they had been, you know, on average, they're way ahead of their male peers as kids. So it's interesting. And, you know, and speaking out more, I mean, we know statistically that men raise their hand and boys raise their hands way more and even get called on more, even when the raising of the hands is equal. You know, we've done studies on both the teachers and the students where it does seem like there are these, there are forces at play that are encouraging or that are discouraging girls from raising their hands and speaking up and being the leaders of groups. You know, think about all the times that we are split up into, you know, groups of, to do various projects and things. So I could see how, if there's always boys around, I mean, I guess I grew up this way, but I also just kind of felt different anyway. I raised my hand so much throughout all of my schooling. It could not shut me up.
People that I know that are like women who are performers in some way, or like anyone I know who are just generally like, oh, I like could have fallen back. Like they didn't. So like any comic I know is generally like, oh no, I was very outspoken, or I was.
Yeah.
Very, like, so I feel like no matter what, like, so that makes sense. No. And like, I think I come from like a loud kind of leadery family anyway, but I think that it was able to be fostered. And like, it would be even to the point of like, I'd hang out with a like, I guess young woman is what a teen girl in school. And then like, we'd go to a football game and there would be boys around. And I truly, it was like watching like a 10 degree temperature drop in intelligence where I'm like, oh, like she's flirting by like being an idiot.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's such a big factor. It was like, and it was such a weird night and day thing to be like, why is she acting so weird? And then I'm like, oh, this is like, and I'm like, I can't imagine how exhausting it would be if that was like during the day, all day.
Yeah.
like during math.
Yeah. And then, and they, yeah, there is some idea of that men don't want you to be as smart as they are. They need to feel smarter. And so it's more attractive if you just kind of act stupid. You don't want to be seen as a nerd anyway, you know,
yeah,
all of that kind of stuff. That seems hard. I think I was just so gay that it also didn't matter to me. So I, that's why I'm like, I'm not going to act stupid for these losers. Why would I do
what
that?
What would be the point?
Yeah. And I see this even as an adult. I mean, you know, I just remember watching it at, Juice Land, where I used to work, like, you know, making smoothies for rich people. There's one woman in particular who I worked with who was, you know, in her late 20s, at least. She had one way of speaking normally. And then the moment she got to the cash register, and if it was a guy, and particularly an attractive male, her voice went up an entire octave, at least, into that cutesy. I mean, it made me fucking want to gag myself to death. Like, I hate it so much. I'm like, so you need to sound like a bimbo in order to, yeah, and like, I get it. Like, I want the tip jar to get full too, but like, it's just like, oh, and she calls herself a feminist, like, yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know, that's like the like classic, like teen boy answering the phone where he's like screechy. And then he answers, mm-hmm, and he's like, hello, hello, how you, like, yeah, like that is like the, yeah, yeah. So I feel, so it's like a strange thing for me that I'm like, oh, it was wonderful. I would highly suggest it. But even in conversations that I've had before, just like, oh, we don't live in a world with only two genders with people. Just even I'm like, I don't know how to feel, because I think that my all girls education, like at all girls school, is wonderful for girls, but I don't necessarily think all boys schools are good for boys. So I'm, yeah, like, for one to exist, the other kind of has, you can't just be like, well, so I'd like, as, yeah, far as I'm like, I found it extremely useful. And I guess I know all like different strokes for different folks. There could be students that like were much happier in a co-ed space and everything else, but I'm just like, oh yeah. Like as time marches on, like how do spaces like that still exist without it?
Yeah. Well, we don't have to have the math checkout, because if you have, as long as you have co-ed schools, you can have some all-female schools, and there'll just be some other schools that have more men to women ratio, you know, like a higher ratio. Yeah. But it's like, for fairness. So it could just be that people are like, well, hey, no one likes all boys schools, and so we just don't do them, but some people do like all girls schools. So we'll continue to have that be an option. But I mean, yeah, like you said, in order to be gender inclusive, well, we don't even know what gender is going to look like in 10 years, for one thing. But so, exactly. So some of these problems,
like,
could get solved themselves.
What does an all-girls school look like in 10 years? If we have no idea what gender is going to look
but
like
we,
in 10
yeah,
years.
Can we just have, like some all, we could have some like all medium gender schools, or like some, yeah, all, like, you know, queer.
They're all,
you know,
gradient schools.
Yeah. I mean, but honestly, could we not somehow just find a way to be like, hey, look, you know, the way we have all girls schools, we're going to have all queer schools. Now there's probably going to be a ton of hooking up. You think there was more, a lot of the all girls school. I mean, at the all.
Yeah, they're like, no, we really have to do a lot of lessons about hooking up. And how
it's going to be a bunch of asexuals and a bunch of pansexuals. So maybe it'll all actually even out. I don't know. But yeah. So
per student, it's going to be like more for the students that are actually, yeah, average.
Average. Exactly. So it could be, but I mean, at this point, we're getting to the point where there are enough people who identify as queer, and and because we're, you know, we're broadening the LGB, et cetera, spectrum, and people are kind of waking up to like that they're some kind of non-binary or this or that or the other. So like, I could see a future where we're like, well, we have a solid, you know, 5% of students who are actively identifying as queer. It could be 20%, honestly. Yeah. And if you get to that, into the 5 to 20% ratio, then it's not like there's all girls schools in every city anyway. You know what I mean? Like, this is, yeah, just, we could just have these options because, yeah, I mean, it seems obvious why all girls schools would actually be quite, I mean, especially for me as a lesbian, you know, I think I would have loved it, but,
like, I would have had a fabulous time.
I was also hoping to get sent to those Pray the Gay Away camps because I thought, well, that, what an opportunity.
What a place to meet people.
I literally would have dreams about hooking, like actual dreams about being sent to those, and so hot, but, yeah, but I mean, you know, honestly, I don't even know if I would have felt comfortable. It would have, it's, I should talk to a lesbian who went to an all girls school.
I know. Sometimes I wonder that as well. Cause I'm like, is it,
are they cleaning up,
like,
or
so
are they?
Yeah. Cause I'm like, boys were the thing that made me uncomfortable, but I'm like, oh yeah. Would it be equally horrible, puberty terrifying?
Yeah.
If you were like, comfortably. Well, and at Catholic schools, it's a whole other thing, because then there's a layer of like, you're not even supposed to be an out. Like I feel like that's right. If adding, I don't even want to like add the Catholic layer to this discussion, because I'm like, in the Catholic mind frame, it's just, there is no option. You have to be a girl under, right. You know, your typical whatever.
Right.
But I mean, like if someone was trying to do like a functional all girls school, that was like, you know,
pagan, not specifically or religious or whatever.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, how would you go about it? Well, cause even like if someone decided, I feel like people are now like finding that they want to transition like younger or like being more like comfortable and talking about this. So it's like, would it be a thing where the school then had to like kick them out, where it's like, oh
yeah,
if you're not a girl anymore, you like have to not go to the school you've gone to for 3 years.
You know what so many people do is have things that are for like anybody who's not a cis man, which I mean, sometimes I kind of have a like, well, what do we like? Ultimately, I don't know, but this is sustainable in the long term for us to be like anyone but cis men. Okay. I don't know why I do the game.
Yeah, I guess like, I do.
But you could have like
the best we can think of now. But
well, they do
like,
non-binary or women, you know, women and non-binary, yeah. Or, you know, yeah, something where it's kind of like, you can make it a little bit vague, because then you get to the point where you're like, okay, well, do we let in these non-binary dudes who are just saying that, you know, like, okay, just because you have long hair, yes, doesn't mean you get to go into the women's locker room. Like, you know, like we got to draw the line, yes, somewhere. So I don't know, but I do think that it's, I mean, I always wind up just finding the third gender thing has to be where we go. If we're going to, and especially with people taking cross-sex hormones in all these ways, whether that's puberty blockers, yeah, or later, like it's just getting to the point where there's no simple way, even if you're very like, there's just two genders, there's no simple way to do this. If people are going to be on these hormones that are changing their biology, even, yeah, if you, even if you want, don't want to say they're changing their biological sex or they are whatever, like they, yeah, are, yeah, changing their,
like,
biology.
Don't believe in any of it. You can, it, yeah, is, in fact,
whether you believe in any of it or all of it, there's still something, yeah, happening that
it's
we have to accommodate,
thing, like,
for.
Whether or not, yeah, you have to like that's why I'm thinking of like high school administrators, like no matter how much they believe in it or not, do have to deal with the paperwork of this thing.
Right.
Like, and so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't certainly think I'll come up with a solution, nor is it my job, but it's just,
well, I have
thing
one.
I think about. Oh, you do? Okay, great.
Okay, this is what I think. Okay, I think I do. Let me see if the math works out. So we continue to have schools that are for everybody. And then I think it's okay to have schools that are all girls' schools. And then we should also, sometimes people could set up schools that are for queers. I mean, we just, however they want to frame that. So someone like me, for instance, could go to an all-girls school or a queer school. I think we could also have two versions of all-girls things sometimes, because sometimes there are reasons to separate things by gender identity, and then there are also reasons to separate things by sex. And particularly when it comes to pregnancy and risks, and also just like sexual assault concerns, privacy concerns for the body, whatever. A lot of what we're talking about has to do with testosterone. And so I wouldn't even say, like, if you're trying to have a space that's completely like not only protective for women, for girls, for their safety, but also for their ability to develop without the male gaze, then you probably can't let in testosterone trans boys either. Do you know what I mean? Like,
wait, it's, well, like now, without the testosterone gaze.
Yeah, the testosterone gaze. Exactly. I think, yes, maybe we just... If I were starting a school, I think I would be about the testosterone. I don't know that we need to, you know, measure everybody's levels. Although if science gets better and easier at some point, because I keep hearing these arguments where like some people's chromosomes aren't really what they think they are, or we don't really know what the levels of all these kinds of, and I'm like, well, then let's do the research. If we don't,
like, we don't know,
know,
and you're like, could we figure it out?
Could we? Yeah. People on Twitter are telling me that like actually a lot of people's chromosomes aren't XX or XY. And I'm like, really? Well, then let's find that out. I can't.
Can someone tell me?
Why don't we all, why don't we test a representative sample of people and then find out? I mean, like, I don't know what these people are, but maybe that's
sure
completely bullshit. But anyway, so if I were starting a school, yeah, that I wanted to have, that was like to get the aims of what yours was, I mean, without some of the mm-hmm. Catholic shit. Sure. Then I think that's what I would say. I would say you need to be, well, I think we should have two. And I would specifically set up a school where there were two, where we had one that was really for females only. And in fact, instead of the everyone but cis straight men, we would have one that was like natal females who are not taking testosterone only. And then we would have another one that was like anyone who feels they're queer who could go to that one.
Okay.
That's personally what I would do. And I think
I feel like technically, like, I think that I personally that I'm like all boys schools are bad for boys, but I have talked to some boys that are like men now, but boys at the time that were like, no, that was very helpful for me to be in that space. Cause I wasn't like, I just feel like it breeds, it has like, again, testosterone has such a escalation effect of like hazing and everything else. So that, and like, especially teens when they're first learning how to deal with it, that I'm like, it seems like a nightmare
slash homoerotic fantasy. I mean, it's both, but I think, man, maybe it depends on where you're at in the testosterone hierarchy, you know, the alpha beta, it may really depend. But yeah. And it's just somebody else's business to start an all boys school or an only male.
Like, if I started these schools, I would not be starting that.
I would not be personally responsible for that. But
you're like queer school, that which sounds like a show you can see on TBS.
Yes.
Like welcome to queer high. Yeah. That is just that.
Yeah.
And then
an all women's one.
Yeah. That's
problem
solved.
An natal female.
To start two schools.
Now I just have to start a school. Yeah, exactly. So I've got step A out of the way. Now we can, but I do think, you know, that it probably is helpful. I like to have, boys, you know, sent away from the home when they're at that annoying age, you know? So for parents, I would say, well, at least when I think of all boys school, I think of boarding schools. And so I definitely feel like I support being able to get rid of your 13 to 17 year old sons. And so
you're like, maybe an island that they're banished to.
I think, yeah, there's your reality show. It's the, what's that? Lord of the Flies. All 13 and 17 year old boys from every country are all sent to one island for those years. And whoever makes it out.
There we go. It'd be a way though. Then we'd have a lot of like only the strong, like, I feel like then our society as adult men would be.
Well, then we have to
be violent.
Of whoever, yeah. Or maybe charismatic. Maybe some of them actually, because, okay. So Lord of the Flies, I remember like last year, all these podcasts I was listening to were doing stories about how actually Lord of the Flies is total bullshit. And that's not how it would go down.
Cause there've like been the some real life version,
that have gone just the opposite where they just help each other and cooperate.
They're like some boys like were just became all best friends and they like supported each other and were like actually able to like be more nurturing towards each other because they were in that situation. So
and maybe that's the all boys. I think it probably depends on, you know, whether this is a Catholic school where they're all getting raped at the same time. You know, if they're all getting raped by the pastors, they probably are mean to each other. But if this is like certainly, a good
if it's like an actual, though, because it also depends on like the dynamic of, I mean, talking to all friends who are teachers and people that I've known, like the dynamic of any group, it just really depends on like the individual humans in any group. So like one type of school can't necessarily, like, I am certain there have been grades at all. I like know men that went to all boys schools that are like wonderful men, like sensitive, great, love to be like, had and like had strong male, you know, friendships in those ways because they were able to have like be close to men without teen girls, you know, that sort of thing. But I just feel like, I don't know, as a whole thing, I'm like the potential for like insane things to happen, but that can happen at any school with any group of people, I guess.
Yeah. So bad things happen to boys in their, time of puberty. Yeah. We can't help the boys, but so in terms of helping the girls,
we're leaving back.
You know what? Being a man is a high risk, high reward situation, and that's their issue. I don't know. You know,
true. You're like, we got to focus on our two schools.
Let's focus on our education.
With that other school.
Seriously. Okay. So, in terms of my wrong questions for you, then, if when you had been at your school, if while you were in high school, there had been, did you play sports real quick?
I played a very made up sounding sport called broomball.
Quidditch like before Harry Potter is what I'm hearing.
But like, okay. Yeah.
Witch ball, which
on ice. It's like literally like hockey, half court, duct taped up brooms.
Witch hockey.
So that was like, I played that actually like with another, it was an all girl sport, but I played it at like, it was a club sport, not a, a high school sport. So
made the girls play it. Witch hockey. That's yeah. Great. Did you have to wear little hats while you skated around?
We had to wear big hockey helmets.
Fog machine.
So I feel like hats would have been better. And okay. You didn't wear skates. You just wore shoes and you like slid around. It was like truly a bizarre thing.
Hilarious.
I miss.
To mimic. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay.
So no, I'm not an athlete, if that's what you're asking.
That's good. So did you have to change in a locker room for that sport? It doesn't sound
I had to change in a locker room. We changed for gym class in my high school. We like had a locker room changing because we changed from our like class uniforms into like our little sweat shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we did that in my schooling as well. And I mean, I'll just preface this by saying I was always incredibly uncomfortable in the locker room. Like there's no locker room that I could be comfortable in. That's another one of these funny things. And this whole like trans debate, I'm like, it really like for someone like me, I'm either going to be in the men's locker room, which maybe I would be fine with that, but or I was in the women's where I knew I was different. And I, you know, we didn't even talk about gender back then. I just knew I was gay. And so like, you know, and I have crushes on some of these chicks and they're actively like show their boobs. Yeah, and like, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You know, if I look way too hard, I'm like, as a gentleman, I shouldn't be, I just have to look away, but in a very casual, I mean, you know, so, so my life was, and I hated my body. So like changing in front of people. I mean, I did it in the stall. I did it when no one was looking for, I was so proud of myself if I could even like whip it off for, you know, like with a shirt ready. I mean, it was like,
The okay, lightning fast, no one can see. Oh, I might as well be changing in public. Yeah, that is a nightmare scenario.
Yeah. So how did you feel about it as a 14-year-old?
I was insecure in like changing rooms because I like hated my body because I was a teen. But I feel like it wasn't.
There's
like
so many reasons to hate your body as a young female.
Like, at the time. Well, even like I feel like even recently this year, even of like locker room changing stuff at 35, I went to a Korean spa for the first time and I went with my friend, Kate Mason, hilarious comedian. I don't know if you have ever met her, but truly like delight. We toured together and I didn't even realize I was doing this still, but she gave me shit. Cause she's like, Laura's doing that locker room changing shit when we're like changing in the hotel where I was like doing like shirt over. Cause I'm just like, oh, that's just always how I've changed in front of other people is like the very modest whatever. Yeah. And so then we like went to a Korean spa together this summer and she was like, you can't pull that off. Like, it's just,
we're going to be
like, listen, I was like, I don't try to be that way. It's just like what was trained into me. So I feel like it was like a thing that I'm like, oh, I still have that now. But I feel like in high school, it was very like uncomfortable, but like certainly not, it could have been worse. I feel like my main worry in grade school changing was I wanted a bra and I like didn't need one yet, but like everyone else was wearing bras.
Oh yeah.
And so I like folded up a tank top to make it look like I was wearing a bra, which doesn't look like a bra.
You look like a homeless person who's dealing with
just
things.
Like a weird, because I wanted to ask for one. And then I still don't need one with my build. Like I still, I feel like, and at the time I was like, oh, but everyone's wearing these and maybe I should wear one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, later in life, you'll be very grateful you don't need one.
But. Yeah, so many women should not be wearing bras still. We're wearing them. And it's just because it's what the other women are doing. But
I know pandemic really helped me out with that, where I was like, oh, wait, I never need to.
Yes, and your chest muscles get stronger when you're not wearing them. And if you are wearing bras, they weaken those muscles because you're not holding yourself up. So your boobs actually get droopier when you wear bras. This is something I learned a few years ago, thanks to my current girlfriend. But I mean, I wore like sports bras. It's even worse. The tighter it is, you know, the weaker your body gets. So I've noticed because I read a study and they say that your boobs actually start to like lift about like 7% or 12% or something. I don't even know what percent, you know, how that works, but a year, there's some kind of math that's happening where your boobs get
some like muscle math.
Yeah. Some muscle.
Stronger.
Yeah. And I've been not wearing bras for the last 3 years and I have noticed finally, like it took a while, but now I'm like, this is different than it was three years ago. My boobs are like perking back up. So
where they're, yeah, it's, I feel like that's like when like dolphins returned to the canals during the pandemic, where they're like, life came back.
Yeah, exactly. They do look more like dolphins too. Now that you mentioned
12% more every year. They look 12%, like dolphins.
Yeah. So we're getting there, but, wait, so where were we that we got onto? Oh, so you're changing.
And then we talked about dolphin boobs.
So how did you feel in high school? Like, would you have, can you imagine like what it would have felt like? Just, let's just start with like, if a guy were in the, if you were as a co-ed changing room, how would you feel about that? Do you think?
Oh, like in high school, wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And now I feel like the best I can equate it to, and this isn't changing room at all, but it's like co-ed bathrooms is the only experience I've had close to that, I would feel like now. And that's like, I feel like now I'm like one of those people. I feel about like a co-ed bathroom when I'm like in a, like last night it happened. I was like at this like art show, and I like got out of the stall, and there was like a guy at the sink. And I feel like how like when people try to like really show that they like pit bulls, and they're like, oh no, I'm like really comfortable around this. Like, I feel like I just am in the position where I am comfortable, but I'm trying to like really prove how
totally. I feel like we're all so awkward in those.
Yes. I'm just like, hi. Like, I'm like way friendlier in the bathroom than I'd be to any like woman I saw at the sink. I'm just like, hi. Oh, I'll make a little joke. I'll like show how extremely comfortable I am. Cause I like do think it should be that way. Like, I wasn't in at no moment was like, I'm afraid now for my safety in this bathroom. Yeah. But I'm just like, oh, I'm like doing that like liberal woman thing that I'm just like, look at how comfortable I am.
I get closer to black men on the elevator. I know.
Yeah. Like, I know. Like, this is so
Can you help me find my keys in my purse? Yeah. I'm going to start doing that. Yeah. Every time.
And I feel like it's just like, as I age and as I like, you know, hang out, like comedy is still as like many men involved in like sharing rooms and spaces with that. I just get like more comfortable, but like as a teen, a co-ed changing room would be just terrifying for me. Like, truly, I feel like would not be a thing I could handle emotionally.
Yeah. So that's the one I'm wondering. I mean, again, it's like, it's hard to know. I think there are other countries where like people are just more comfortable with nudity and they're more co-ed all the time early. And so maybe if we just were totally raised differently, then it would be fine to just be changing in front of each other and stuff, you know? So it's like hard to say.
Yeah.
In my memory, it feels like it would have been bad. I was not even.
And like memory of that time period of my brain at that time. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, the way Americans are way more likely to binge drink and be alcoholics and stuff than in the European countries where they just drink earlier, or where it's not illegal, you know, all your years of college, it's not illegal for you to drink. And so they're just kind of drinking wine with dinner at 15 here, you know, and so it's not that big of a deal. Well, if you're the same way about sex, then maybe you actually wind up with less sexual assault and stuff. And
like,
so, but
I've kind of heard that with like, even like how they show like, America is so like censored in how they present sex on like main and bodies on like mainstream channels. But so then, I mean, like, if you think about like Janet Jackson's nipples slipping out and it being just like the shot heard around the world, where it's like, yeah, of course we all freak out if it's like co-ed because we're not allowed to look at anything.
Right. If everything is so tabooed, then it makes sex more of this thing. So like, cause my real fear would be an increase in sexual assault. And so it's like where our culture is at right now. I think we're still, it would still be too dangerous because we keep these boys at a frenzy. You know, if we get to a utopian place where there are women in every village, if you will, that like help teach young men how to have sex and, you know, cause they're the ones who like to do that, you know, and we, and we show them and she can teach them about like how to really please a woman so that he doesn't just hate and resent women and then beat them, you know, like, it might be better. I just, you know,
that can be the all boys school. Like that can be classes.
They're taught by women. Yeah. The all boys schools are only taught by women.
Yes.
Some of them will molest the kids, even, even that's rare, but like, and they'll be okay with it. And how about instead of them molesting the men, we just say, look, the boys who, cause there are those women who, whatever you want to think of them, who like sex a lot, like young men, like whatever, and who could teach them. Maybe that would be better. I mean, men are always constantly joking anyway about how, oh yeah, your teacher molested you when you were 14. Oh, I bet that sucked. And like, yeah, it might not suck if, I mean, here I am like advocating for pedophilia, whatever. It's clearly not pedophilia. I know it's clearly not pedophilia though, when maybe this will be a Patreon. Because a lot of those women, I don't know, maybe it's 17, but so you just have to wait till you're 17. But you know that when you're 17, then you get to have sex with
Chill, dog. My dog is upset by this concept. He's a male dog. He's like,
how come they get to have sex? Anyway, I don't know.
But I feel like so much of this that we're, the thing of like, even there's so much that it's like, well, in a utopian society,
right? We're not there yet, is all I know.
Like, we're not, yeah.
Whether the utopian society involves fucking 14 to 17 year old boy, you know, we're not there yet, if ever, whatever it is. And what do I know what boys need? But we're not there yet. And so I do feel like it would currently be really fucked up to have men in girls' locker rooms, just girls, you know, they don't want people seeing their bodies and like, and having that. And I don't know, because of male puberty, there is this whole kind of sexual, you know, frenzy that they get at. I mean, you listen to them talk about it and they're all like, I'm a monster inside and I have to figure out how to deal with it, you know? So
like even now they're like not letting girls wear like spaghetti strap tank tops. So I can't imagine that they're like, just go ahead and take your shirt off in front of this guy. Like,
so we're not there yet. So no, we know
we're
that
we're definitely not there yet. Like we're not even allowed to wear shorts.
So, so then what do you think then about like, if you were at a girl's school now, that like, how would you feel about like, A, let's say there's now a trans boy who is on testosterone and changing his, you know, body and everything, but they're like, okay, you're at this all girl school and he wants to keep going to all girl school, but is that okay? Like, how do you feel about him in your locker room? How do you feel about a trans woman who is not on hormones because she's young, but she's, you know, now we're at the age where she's going through male puberty. And then how do we feel about someone who is a penis person, but is taking puberty blockers, we'll say, because usually they don't stop the current sex hormone yet, but somewhere in the puberty blockers or feminizing hormones. So there's your three wrong questions. How do you feel about that shit?
How do I feel about, again, here's the problem. Like me now 35 saying me as a teen, I would be like, oh, I think I'd be understanding and I just have good conversations and whatever. But like me as a very sheltered teen, I feel like I would be either way too out of my way trying to accept of like, if like across the board of being like, no, it's totally like, I'll bring it up so many times that it makes you too uncomfortable to be in here. I will bring up how good and cool I am with it. Or I don't like, I just truly, it's been like so long, like 20 years since I've been in that space that I'm like, yeah, me 20 years ago, I feel like it would be, I bet I would do one of those things that feels diplomatic, but is very othering, where I would be like, well, why don't we just like think of a different space for them? Or why don't we like, you know, I'll change it a different, like, I bet I would try to get student council about it in a way that I thought was very smart at the time, but was in fact very like ignorant and hurtful to that student. If I'm like being very honest about pretty much all, I feel like the scenario where, and I think it also depends on how like long you've known. Cause if you picture like freshman year, I feel like that'd be an uncomfortable thing because like, especially the school I went to, like everyone came from different schools. So I feel like freshman year, we were all like getting to know each other. So if someone was like, I'm like, you know, transitioning into like a male and you barely know me and now I'm in your locker room, there would definitely be some like controversy around that. And, but I feel like senior year, it would be like a very different scenario. Just because it would be like, we've all known each other. Like I know you as a person.
We're comfortable.
Yeah. For like, I've known you for 3 years. And so that's not like, so I really also think it depends like how long I'd been at the school and how well I'd known, because I feel like if that's something someone like, we went on these really intense retreats at my school. And I feel like anyone could drop like any information in that retreat and everyone would be like, I will now fight for you to the death. Like it was just like this very like, now looking back, like intentionally frenzied emotional experience that they like, you know, was curated to do that. But there was like some people admitting some like very extreme stuff and everyone was like, okay, we know that now and we're here for you in like a way that I think if they would have done a retreat like that when we were like 13 and all meeting each other, it would have created like a horrible dynamic. So I feel like I feel like that would be clumsily is how I would handle all of it would be my answer, but thinking at the time that I was being a great leader.
And it doesn't even really matter like how you yourself would have dealt with it, although that's interesting. But it's like, okay, do you think that it is a good idea, given today's state, that we're in the utopia that we're not in? Do you think that it would be a good, like, if there was a trans girl, should I say, who's 16 and has not had hormonal intervention, but is like, is identifying as a woman now, or as a trans girl, again, a trans young woman. Yeah. Technically, I think 18 is when you're a woman or man. I don't know, but anyway.
And so I like work so hard to not call women girls now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know. I know. That's the thing. That's my habit. It's like, okay. So, but that's why I'm trying to use it specifically as girls and boys are kids and women and women are adults. I'm trying to only do that. So, okay. Yes. So, okay. So let's say that there's a 16-year-old trans girl who is not taking cross-sex hormones. Maybe their parents don't want them to. Let's say they're not, and they're in a state where they can't do it themselves, you know. But their parents have agreed somehow to let them go to an all-girls school. I don't know. This is just a fucking weird scenario. But like, yeah, no, there's a million different scenarios that do happen. But like, it's like we're just, because I'm kind of trying to take the logical extent of this. So if that person then says, I'm in this all girls school, like, do you think that it is reasonable for like the young natal females at the school to then just be like, oh yeah, sure, now you can come into our locker rooms and play sports against us and be in our girls school? Or if some of them had a, you know what I mean? Like, because as a kid too, just like I was a Mormon. So just like, if I tried to think about how I would have felt, it's hard because I know it would have been tainted, you know, or it would have been tinted by like my theological ideas about, so I can't, you know, like it, but just like, is it reasonable to, you know, have, and even then, like I had religious beliefs that would have been completely stepped on it by that. So then,
oh yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know whether, yes, for the trans kid, obviously, like we don't want to hurt their feelings, but is it actually fair to the 99% too? Like, we have to figure out how it's fair for both. Like, I don't think it's just a matter of like, well, now that we know we want to be kind about gender, we know that this is it's like, well, wait, what is the policy? Like, is that actually okay? And then what if there is a sociopath boy here and there who just pretends so that he can go into the, I mean, or a house, would you even have to be sociopathic if you didn't have to take hormones to be I'm going to the all girls school? I mean, somebody might do it on a dare.
I feel like if I'm like truly like worried about, like, I feel like the sociopath, like, especially as a teen, like the sociopath, like sneaking in, like, that's probably not the thing I'm worried about, in the sense that like, if it was a kid sociopath, he would just break into the girl's school and like attack someone when he would skip school and just do it. Like, I feel like there's just far more, there's so many efficient ways to assault young women that I feel like that.
Don't you just want your life to look like a movie because you're
like if you're like trying to do a very modern Ladybugs movie.
Well, I always feel like these school shooters are so uncreative. I mean, maybe this is just my sociopathic mind, but I'm like, why wouldn't you do something interesting? Like, pretend you're trans, befriend everyone, and then go to the...
Really good. Like, if you're
poison them all, start a cult at an all girls school.
Yeah, you're like, if you're truly gonna just like fuck over a bunch of people, like,
have
really
more
take
fun
your
with
time
it than
with
that.
It.
like stew something up good. Well, this is why I thank God that not that many women are sociopaths and murderers and stuff, because we would kill so many more people so much in such crueler ways if we cared enough to do that.
But truly, like, I think about that, like, if I didn't have the, I mean, I like literally have a joke of like, think of how much crime I could get away with this face and body, just in the sense of like, I'm so like your art teacher, like I'm so like that vibe. And I'm like, man, yeah, when women do decide to do that shit, it's terrifying. And as far like the school policy question of like what to do about this, my answer is just like a straight up, I do not know. Like, it's like truly like, I think until we reach that utopia where like everything is figured out and we don't have to worry about, you know, locker room violence and, you know, that fake place that we all dream about, I think like, I feel like there has to just be a policy that describes handling it by a case by case basis.
Yeah.
Like literally the policy has to be like, we figure
I think you're so right. I think that's the best answer I've ever heard for a lot of it. Because that's the thing. It's like, look, somebody's rights and feelings and religion and whatever is going to be infringed upon no matter what we do in these cases now. Yeah. So just case by case basis, use your human discernment. We are not going to tell you how to be a fucking cog in a machine and do your little, you know, paperwork because you're a bureaucrat and you don't want to have to make any kind of human decision. No, you're going to have to figure it out. I mean, so
like, maybe there's a committee that is like I feel like the, it's so tricky with like policies in schools generally, because like there needs to be something. Like it can't just be like, we've never had rules for that before, which I feel like that's where a lot of students get into, like, you know, and that's also when the like uneven punishment happens. That's where a lot of like, you know, prejudice and stuff can like really mess up certain students' lives and not others. So like, I feel like definitely there needs to be like a policy that has a committee that is both like, I don't know, students and parents and teachers. That like case by case basis, I feel like it should be just called like the gray area team.
Right.
Like anytime there's like a gray area issue, they just like are like, okay, we will meet and discuss this and like, you know.
Yeah, I want to be on the head of the gray area committee. Well, because, okay, so great. Because the true answer to my little hypothetical is that there are always going to be a million hypotheticals, but we don't want to have to deal with everyone. And so what you need is exactly right. So what you would do if you were the unfortunate administrator of the school who was dealing with the situation with these parents who are crazy anyway, no hormones, but sure, you go to the all-girls school, see how you like it. Anyway, oh, okay. So if you're that administrator...
He's like, wow, this is my first year being an administrator. Yeah. This is truly.
I was a third grade teacher last year, but I couldn't afford to live. Yeah. So then I would say like, okay, well, why don't we go to the young women who this is going to affect and talk to each one of them about that and say, how do you feel about, you know, because are you a Mormon? Are you not, you know what I mean? Are you okay with your body? Are you okay with it? Like what's, you know, like we could talk to each person and hopefully, you know, like in a one-on-one way where you, it's like a counselor who's trained and, you know, whatever, because you don't want this to be a room where you go, okay, anyone have any problem with this trans shit?
Yeah, raise your hand.
No, yeah. Close your eyes and raise your hand. Yeah. let's do an open mic where everyone tells their opinion.
Yeah.
No. So a one-on-one room where you say, hey, look, because again, some of these kids, they may not be comfortable saying, look, I come from a very conservative background where it's against my religion to even see a dick until I'm married to one, you know, or whatever it is. Or they say, hey, I was sexually assaulted last year, actually, in your school. And maybe I'm glad that we're talking now because I've never told anyone about it. But also I can't, you know what I mean? So yeah, I think that's exactly it. Instead of this whole thing about what should be the one rule, it's like, can you just be a fucking human and do your job and figure out what to do? It's either going to be so rare that you can do that, or we already need the third space so desperately that we should have so many more third spaces.
Yeah. Or like, I feel like almost all teens would agree that if they had like individual little changing cubbies instead of having like a dressing room has, instead of like a big free for all pit where everyone has to decide how comfortable they are.
Yeah.
It's a budget issue, but I'm like, I don't think if they had a blanket statement, they're like, no, we don't have time to talk about these kids about their feelings. We don't have time to like figure out how they feel about this. It's like, well, then just create stalls for everyone to change in. And that is the rule.
Yeah. You're going to have to spend the money if you don't want to do the work.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Like have them change. Like they can even take shifts in stalls. Like it's a dressing room.
Yeah.
And just like have them all go change that way instead of just like putting them all in a room together. If you can't.
Well, and there could be one room or two rooms where people do go and you know, change and then in some combination, and there could be a lot more of these cubbies and stalls than there are. Yeah,
that it's like very normalized to be
normalized. Because what they do is so cruel, where the boy is like so obvious that you're, you know, using the one or two of the stalls.
Yeah,
so if you just made a bunch so that, it normalized that a lot of people are doing this, but then there's also a large room that I'm always just trying to help with the budget. Look, there's your compromise.
I feel like all of my schools have like insane budgets where I'm like, well, listen, every student has a therapist on the campus.
You can hire so many therapists, just hire millennials who will do it for $20 an hour. It's not that hard.
Oh, I know.
We'll do it part-time. We'll do it 7 hours a week. It's like not that big of a deal.
That's the whole hour. I mean, 7 hours a week. Yeah. You could get like, that would be amazing. And then it's just like, how do you, because also then I do feel like, the real way thing to do is like actually talk to the students. Cause I also think that like, so many people don't give teens enough credit for like being able to discuss issues like this or like issues that affect them. And I feel like the reason they don't, or the reason that a lot of the discussions around those things are ignorant sounding, is because it's just like, oh, well, you never trust them to talk about this or like handle this in the way that they would like to handle it.
Yeah. No, it'd be very healthy for the teens too. Yeah. To get to like express, hey, you know, have someone ask them about their thoughts about this interesting issue. You know, this is a juicy, controversial, weird thing for them to get to be like, you know, asked their opinion. Like, I think that's really cool for these kids. It's almost like mock elections and stuff that they do. Yeah. You know, this is like, hey, you get to be a citizen who is part of the, how we decide how we handle what's going on with all this shit right now.
And especially if it was like in a one-on-one setting where it could truly be like meant to be educational, where they could like ask questions and get information and not have it be like group mentality of like, say how you feel about this in front of all of your peers.
Right.
Where it's, and like, so, you know, like talk to an adult that's listening to you, let them know how you feel about the scenario.
But ultimately what you're going to have to do at the end of all of this is probably get more stalls for one thing anyway, cuppies and stalls. Sure. And then, you know, it's possible that all of the girls at the school are going to be like, oh, totally, we don't care, dude. We are so advanced. And we all already do naked blowjob parties together and happen since we were nine. So like, we couldn't give less of a shit. I've already fucked her, you know? So, I mean, it could be that they're going to say that, and where all the adults can be like, wait, what?
Well, no, we didn't want you to say that.
y'all already all had a gangbang with her.
They just have to make up that someone was uncomfortable. That wasn't real. That they're like, no, there was a couple students that were really uncomfortable.
Like, we can't.
She's the most. We truly don't care.
She's our lesbian ringleader. We all. Yeah. Okay. So that's possible. And then, there's however you respond to that. Or it's possible that there are going to be a number of students who say, look, I'm not comfortable with her in a changing room. And I think, I'm sure that they would draw that. They'd say, hey, look, this girl is going to go to your school. But we've got a changing room for her. You know, we figured out a solution over here. And, I just think that I would imagine that would be the worst it would get, is that they're just going to say, you can go to the school, but you're going to have to change in this place, whatever. You know, isn't it as simple as it's going to be? I mean, are there any other times where it would have even mattered to you?
And like best case scenario is like additional stalls and better situations for
everyone
that have changing issues. I don't know, because they just have changing issues and it has nothing to do with their gender. They're like, I just don't want to get naked in front of my classmates or it for does whatever reason.
Too. Right. Yeah. Cause it's everyone. Yeah. But like, for me, it was both like, it was not like my body on a number of levels. And so I'm like, it would have probably actually been a great diversion for me if there had been.
So you're like, I'm going to go be a gentleman and take up one of the ample stalls that are open for changing.
Just to make you more comfortable. Just to normalize it for your sake.
Yeah, just to be an ally to the person that has to use the stall, I will also use
this. But just a hero.
Like all of the things, like, yes, just
a modern day hero.
Because that's even, I feel like the closest I can come again to like locker room example for like me as an adult is like the bathrooms. And I'm like, like bathrooms like that aren't single gender now are actually wildly helpful in spaces, because I don't have to wait in line for bathrooms as often as I used to, especially like single stall bath, like bathrooms that are like one toilet. I'm just like, it's actually really nice to.
Well, if anything, except that I always just would go to the men's restroom when there was no line there anyway. Yeah. So if you had just done that, then you could have saved even more time. Because now, even in the men,
you're right. Now it's
there's no line stall. There's always a little. So it depends.
I feel like the only benefit, the bar I host an open mic at, when their bathrooms went gender neutral, the gross bathroom is starting to become slightly less gross. Because like, I feel like now it used to be like the women's bathroom was the one that was okay to deal with. And then the men's bathroom was like very disgusting. And now it's like, it's starting to get a little bit more like sunshine and air onto its existence. Now
that's good.
The like banished. It's still the grosser bathroom, but
Sometimes we bring the men up and sometimes they bring us down, you know, some of the gender neutral former women's restrooms. I'm like, okay, well now we have nowhere, but, you know, yes. I just, but you know, whether it's men's or women's restrooms, I'm always cleaning toilet seats. I mean, I clean men's more. Yeah. I don't care what women like to be, you know, feminist about it and say women are just as disgusting as men. No, that's not true. Sometimes women are disgusting, whatever, but I mean, I've used a lot of restrooms and men are very clearly the winners in disgust, even with all the blood. They still are dirtier on average. But yeah, I mean, I wish that people would just, you know, leave a place cleaner than they found it, whatever.
Oh, sure. I feel like I'm always the one in a bathroom that is fixing the toilet in any given bathroom.
Yeah.
I feel like that's my role in a lot of bathrooms where they're like, it just doesn't flush. And I'm like,
Have you tried it though?
Came unlocked. Like, literally just the chain.
That's
in the
one thing. Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's okay. We'll just shove it full of toilet paper forever. And cause we hate bartenders.
And make people like, deal with it. Yeah.
Yes. I know.
No, I know. So that's the extent of my plumbing abilities, but still, yeah, it's like, I can clean a toilet seat. I can lift a chain. Exactly. It's like, why you guys don't have to be horrible. Yes. But again, that's,
oh shoot.
That
cuts across your business.
We do have to go. Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else that you want to say real quick though about, I mean, I think we solved it, which is just to say that it's not solvable in a simple way. And you're just going to
Utopia and endless budget is our plan.
Utopia, endless budget, and talk to all the kids. Yeah.
Yep. Great.
Word. We did it.
We did it.
All right. Thanks, Wonderful. Laura. This was
nice
fun.
To talk to you.
You too. Yes.
Bye.
Okay, what up, what up? Thank you so much for listening to the whole episode. If you want more from Laura Sanders, you can go to laurasanders.fun, L-A-U-R-A, Sanders, don't be an idiot, .fun. And she's actually does have a really fun website, and you can sign up for her newsletter, which also gets you free compliments and doodles. So check that out. You can also just follow her on Instagram at @YayLauraSanders, find out where she's doing comedy and everything else that she does and how to support her, get involved in all that. And then for me, you can follow me on Instagram at @EllenGGenderless. And you can go to my website, arielisaacnorman.com. Ariel Norman works too. A-R-I-E-L-L-E. And sometimes I have dates listed up there. I'm really better about it on Instagram, but I know some of you are old or whatever, but I try to put up stuff on Ariel Isaac Norman. You can also buy merch now. I have stickers. I have these cute little stickers that are a little kind of line for my stand-up. If you want to support me and have a cute sticker for your water bottle or laptop or whatever, they are $5 and I will mail as many as you want to you, $5 each. Let's see. You can also go to Patreon or Substack to support us, patreon.com/WQO or wrongqo.substack.com. I prefer Substack, but I will keep the Patreon going as well as long as there are people there. I am inconsistent about putting stuff up because life is hard and I do so many things and most of it I do for free. I lose money on most things. I'm whatever. So yeah, support me mostly. If you're supporting me, please just know that you're supporting me because you believe in me and you want me to have money and time to do more stuff. One day I will be consistent, especially when I'm making money and I don't have to have so many other hustles and shit that I'm doing. So I'm going to be in New York from January 19th to January 26th. So if you want to come see me do shows, again, you can find those on my Instagram. There's a post. And so that is Ellen DeGenderless. You can find that. Or if you don't do Instagram and my website is not updated, I'm so sorry. You can just email me at ariel.norman@gmail.com and I will let you know where my New York shows will be. And then I'm going to be in LA March 15th to the 22nd. If you're in LA, it would be cool if you came to stuff too. And so, yeah, just, you know, hit me up. I don't know who all listens to this and I'm trying to get my spreadsheets in order of like who lives in which city and what, but yeah, if you're listening to this and you live in either of those cities, just holler at me. Is there anything else I need to say? I mean, I got shows coming up in Austin too, you know, but just like, yeah, Instagram. No, I think that's it. I feel like I've said everything. Thanks again to Laura Sanders. Thanks to Coleman Wilson for the music. And to Caleb Sexton and everybody who helped me in the weird line of timeline that led to the sticker design. And just stay gay, y'all. Okay, bye.